All right. Welcome back to Tales from the Grind. I'm your host, Erica Harville, in the studio today with Mr. I Am Corey Bills Sr. Say what's up, Corey.
What's good, my people? What's popping?
What you been up to?
Man, doing some good things, man, after, you know, stressing over some business transactions. We made a huge transaction, signed a big contract yesterday.
That's what's up.
And finna get everything popping, pimping.
That's good. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. Fellowship with my Dukes, my sister, my nephew, my son, his girlfriend. It was straight, man. And my mother actually put a lot of love in her food because everything was fire. We were supposed to play spades.
I know. I miss those. I miss the holidays where you get full and then you go in the room and you slap some spades, man. Cards on the table and you're talking. I can't say the word while we're on the radio.
Everybody slapped their damn head on a pillow.
Supposed
to meet up at 3:30.
And y'all were out asleep.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah.
It was on our Nate Robinson.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch that, but I saw it. I saw all the comments on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sad. I was hurt, but just from reading the comments, I mean, damn.
He brought the smoke. He was talking all that ish, and you know, unfortunately, you know, you can't play boxing.
Yeah,
and you know, he thought it was a joke until he went. Shout out to Tanea for this from Surreal. You know, pretty defense, man. She said something that was so funny. Yes, I'm gonna start using it. We normally go on Facebook. We have to say goodnight or good night, everyone. She was like, Nate, everyone. So that's the new good night. I'm gonna start saying good night.
That's so crazy. You put yourself out there and then you turn into a daggone meme. Like, you never know.
You never know.
Yeah, like, you never know what action is going to turn you into a meme. Like, dang, that's crazy.
And then the whole community turned their back on him. The whole community turned their back on him.
But why do we do that? Before we get into that, let's introduce our guest so she can join our conversation.
Join the convo, for sure.
Okay, so guys, we are in the studio today with Miss Naila Burnett. Again, she is the founder and CEO of Energy Juice and Yoga. She is also the recent winner of
Come on, Erica, we didn't
Small Batch
this.
Big Ideas.
Yeah, she finally got it, y'all.
Small Batch Big Ideas out of the Nashville Entrepreneur Center and Mitsubishi. So we're going to hear all about that partnership. And then she was recently featured in the Nashville Business Journal, which was Small Ideas, Big Business. Or Big Ideas, Small Business.
Yeah.
And so we get to talk about that and her journey. And just, you know, overall entrepreneurship. Say what's up, Naila, and tell them a little bit about yourself.
What's up, everybody? It's Naila. I am
Naila.
Okay, I gotta fix that. Okay. All right, let's go.
Happy to be here. I'm really glad for the opportunity to talk to you all about energy juice and yoga and just general the journey. It's been one for sure, but we're here right now for a reason and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, you see how Corey just interrupts. Like, what are you doing over there?
Ma'am, I'm trying to get my phone adjusted. Sorry, guys.
Goodness. Yes, so we are excited to have Naila in the building on today. I met her out of Twin Day. She's also a Twin Day graduate.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah, and it was exciting to hear her talk about how Twin Day, you know, helped and was beneficial in her journey as well. And that's why we created the program. And we created it for ourselves at first. And then it turned out to be, you know, something that founders of color all over was like, man, this is where has this been? And to see it continue to grow and then to see the fruits of our labor, man, that's amazing. You have been doing the dang thing. So tell us what you're up to right now.
Yes, now is a busy season for me, and all things considered, and I'm grateful for it. We are finally in the stages of building out our first storefront on 9th Avenue
awesome.
In Buchanan in North Nashville.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you so much. We'll be right across from Slim and Huskies. And like,
that's a perfect spot.
Yeah, right?
It is, yeah. Sure.
It's a corridor right now. It's a big place to be with what's going on in the city. There's a couple other businesses over there that are anchor businesses that will help make sure that we get traffic for sure. But right now it's all about just getting the word out that we're there and that we're there for the community.
Yeah.
That's been what's consumed me that. And then we've got this delivery-based juice service. We deliver cold-pressed juice all throughout Nashville. And, like, days and evenings are slammed. But
I can imagine.
It's for the right reasons. Like, this is what I'm here for.
So tell us about your juice.
Yeah, so we do cold-pressed juice. Got a few flavors, got a website, visit energyjuiceandyoga.com. But what we do with our juices, Erica's got the inner grind, ironically, in her hand.
Okay, so this is called inner grind?
That's called the inner grind.
Okay, why is it called inner grind?
Ooh, because it helps to work you on the inside with all the deliciousness of beets and pineapples and grapes and watermelon.
Oh, wow,
it's good for hydration, but it's also really good for detoxing.
Oh, okay.
You know, she's going for guest of the year already.
That's because she didn't leave you out this time.
She didn't leave me out. Y'all take note, you other stingy entrepreneurs.
I'm guests.
So how did you get started?
Ooh,
I'm drinking mine.
Okay. Why did you think you needed permission?
I mean, just put it back.
I'm not ready to drink it.
Oh, okay.
It's a process, apparently.
She like
right,
to take,
and what are you doing with
like
the bottle?
She like to take one sip at a time, you know what I'm saying?
Like, what are you doing with the bottle over there right
now? I'm
holding it. No, you were sliding it across the table. You was twirling it in the air. Like,
don't ever confuse me and twirling. That is not don't.
You were spinning.
I was not spinning it.
Okay.
I was just playing hockey.
You're going to tear your phone up. Like, dude, when you were little, I bet your mama all the time had to say, Corey, sit down. Corey,
man,
stop. Corey,
telling,
what are you doing?
We were just talking about how my mother had she had the hand of God. Because when it hit my face.
I can't imagine.
I saw lightning and thunder at the same time.
You didn't learn your lesson.
Ooh, probably because I'm hard-headed.
Yeah, I can tell. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. How did you get started in the juices?
Yes. So I've been juicing like probably the last 10, maybe 11 years. And it was ironically a part of a yoga program that I was in that really got me into it. We were, as a part of the certification, one of the things we had to do was we had to have green juice every single day. And at the time when I was doing this training, Nashville did not. There was no Urban Juicer. There was no Juice Bar. There was no Juice Nashville. Like, none of those places existed. And so just kind of went on the exploration of like just making my own at home. And here we are several years later. And now it's a business of mine.
With a storefront.
Right.
Absolutely.
So I guess it is true that most companies start from a need that the founder has.
Yeah. It was a gap. I mean, when I got here to Nashville in general, like that was the gap I experienced.
Where are
like,
you from?
I'm from Denver, but I came here by way of Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And Atlanta will teach you that you can be any kind of anything. That
sure
you
can.
Be.
Sure can.
And then
can't
you get
wait.
Get here to Nashville, and it's like okay,
it's a whole nother story.
Where's the variety? Like you can't be all kinds of who you want to be mm-hmm. at that time anyway. In particular for me, it was like there's not really a lot of places that incubate like wellness mindsets in Nashville for Black people,
mm-hmm.
particularly there weren't any yoga studios that like cater to Black people. There weren't juice bars, there weren't smoothie huts or Smoothie Kings, any of those things that were like talking to me, saying, hey, you come here. Atlanta's a different story. It's a mecca. It's a space where you can go into any area of town and there's, you know, 5-6 Black-owned businesses. That experience was missing for me. And so then I get here and I have that, just that vision of, well, let me help create that because this is what I want in my life. Like I want a place I can go and recharge and not feel like I got to look around and see if anybody's looking at me. You know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
feeling safe and, you know, with kindred spirits and kindred hearts.
Atlanta is Wakanda. But one thing I can say about Nashville entrepreneurs, the scene now, they're finally embracing it. They're finally, what they're doing on Buchanan is amazing. For Slim and Huskies to do what they're doing, I mean, that really catapulted Nashville entrepreneurs to a whole different level because now to actually know these brothers, to talk to them, to call them, or to touch them, it gives you a sense of pride as an entrepreneur to know that, hey, we could make it.
Yeah.
You know, in this city, you know, as long as we continuously focus on uniting in this city and having space. I mean, now we got you, Juicing, we got Tara, with Quench. You know, the community is moving. So, you know, this growth could be very magical in the next 10, 15 years if we continue to do what we're doing.
I think it definitely will be. Josh, myself, and Danielle has joined Fallon. Mm-hmm. In thank you.
Yeah, congratulations to all you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And the goal is to build up a black tech hub here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So black people will see that, you know, you too can be in tech. And anything that you do, any journey in entrepreneurship is going to be hard. And, you know, just showing people that, you know, you can do what you want to do. Get the idea of it being hard out of your head, because it's going to be hard. Even going to work a 9-to-5 is hard.
It is. It's stressful.
Yeah. And so I agree that Nashville is starting to be more open to seeing more minorities in different
capacities.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing.
And being the face of it too, you know, we get to be behind the scenes in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying with what Slim and Huskies did, for me, like, they're my heroes. You know, the fact that they took a space that no one was really looking at that way and said, we're going to take a stance and we're going to be here in this space. Like, they're making it so that people like me feel more comfortable and confident that what I have can succeed too. And that I can be in the forefront of it. I don't have to be in the background and letting somebody else lead it for me.
Could you imagine what we could be doing up Buchanan right now? Like, that could be our peach tree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know, right?
You know, that's,
yeah. I mean, Nashville is going to be somewhat similar to Silicon Valley, right? You have all of these companies moving here. Did y'all know New York Times is moving here?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the New York Times is moving here. That's why Candace Owens is moving here. She's working at the Daily Mail.
I'd love to get her as a guest.
Cancel culture. No.
I you know what? Candace is someone I don't believe that we need to cancel.
No. I don't cancel her.
Yeah.
I don't cancel her. Now, her mouth, some of the stuff that she says is legit, but in the way that she says it comes off wrong. I don't cancel anybody. I don't participate in cancel culture, because I believe that people have rights to their thoughts and their beliefs. If just because you don't believe the same way that I believe doesn't mean that I have to cancel you.
Mm-hmm. And that's right. What fosters growth, having, you know, a different viewpoint, because when me and you have our different viewpoints, how do you think we became closer as friends?
Right. Because we respect each other's thought.
Thought and opinion, right? And then we can actually go have a beer after, you know, we may have a shouting match or two. So that's the beauty of relationship, the beauty of friendship. Mm-hmm. So
I just got an epiphany. Like, you are your thoughts, right? Like, mm-hmm. thoughts are your reality. And when you get to this point to where you can appreciate someone else's thoughts, mm-hmm. then you really understand love. Mm-hmm. You really love that person. Because I used to say that until you can stand the smell of your significant others.
Right.
Right. Ish. Yeah. Then 9 times out of 10, maybe that's not the person for you. And when I say, I'm not talking about literally standing right. in the bathroom and smelling, but when you can say, you know what, that's just him, or I understand him, and you, that love is still there and it doesn't tear y'all apart, then you most likely have found your soulmate. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And so when we can respect other people's thoughts, then we can respect other people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, I was a victim of it and I was a perpetrator of it as well. You know, you shouldn't project your values with someone else's value system. You know, if they align, it would align. And if they don't align, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You may have your viewpoint of relationships. I may have my viewpoint of relationships. And if it doesn't match, guess what? That's okay. That
right.
doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make me a bad person. And I have my boundary standards and my ideals. And I need to go find people that I can align with versus what people, you know, could do, and we need to walk away from them. So.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a self-respect thing, though, too. Like, if you want to be hurt, then you have to be willing to listen to other people, even if you don't really agree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Like, disagreements don't always have to turn into conflict.
Right, yeah.
So I'm willing to listen. Like, I'll listen to a myriad of thought pieces just because I want to know what people are thinking about. These algorithms will push you into a singular, homogenous thought process, and you've got to see what other people are thinking
yes.
and how they're talking about stuff. it's hard to live in a world where everything looks and sounds and thinks like you.
Yeah. Like all of those challenges on Facebook, like, I don't know. I'm kind of crazy. And I believe in conspiracy theories. No, I'm joking. But listen, no, I don't. Yes, I mean, no, I'm not. But listen, so the hashtags, those challenges, five challenge me or something like that, where people had the five pictures. And I honestly think that the algorithm was, you know, whoever participated in these challenges, they were put in a certain algorithm feed, right? And then the ones who did not was kind of put into a different news feed.
Probably was. You don't know what Zuck be up to.
Well, if you look at the way he changed his algorithm, he's doing it because he has 50 billion pieces of content per day. And so he said that's too much content for the news feed. So he's trying to figure out, like, what's the best way to distribute it. And so he they have predictability software that basically says, okay, if I show this to this person, then they're most likely going to comment, start a conversation, because that's what they want. They want conversation started on their platform.
They know your triggers.
Yeah. And so if your post isn't conversation triggering, 9 times out of 10, it will not, no one will see it. Like, it'll maybe 1 or 2 or 12 people will see it. But if you post something that is kind of like,
fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the same way how the media. You know, that's why the news always starts off negative.
Yeah.
You know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. You know, so they're playing the same game, and we're the sheep. We consistently fall for the banana in the tailpipe. We follow suit, and they know we follow suit.
And I think they figure out who those people are with those damn challenges.
Yeah.
Like, there is a way that they're figuring out this predictability, that they're figuring out the behaviors. And for Facebook to start a challenge, they ain't doing it because they love y'all. They ain't doing it because they want to have fun. It's, let's see who we can get to perform certain actions.
Your epiphany just spawned me an epiphany from a marketing standpoint. You can start a juicing challenge.
Okay. Tell me more.
Just talk about your five different, because this is fire right here.
Love it.
Talk about your different juices, and then just start tagging juice challenge, you know, your different five ingredients, and link up with other people who juice and whatnot. And that's going to bring you, should bring you a lot of, because we're in the detox part of the season right now, especially because of COVID, right? People want to protect their immune systems and whatnot. So if people are doing challenges, right, and it's drawing people, that's free advertising. Thank you, Zuck. We just going to follow what the beast is doing.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
That's all we have to do. They gave us the blueprint. Yeah. I'd be expecting an invoice, paid when I send it to you.
I'll pay you in juice.
Hey.
So, tell us about the competition and how that went, and what did you say when you pitched? So it was a 1 minute pitch? What was it?
Yeah, it was It was a 1 minute pitch, 60 seconds of trying to explain what Energy Juice is up to, what we're about, and why people should support. The Small Batch Big Ideas was Mitsubishi North America's outreach to the community as they're establishing their office here in Tennessee.
Yeah, I forgot Mitsubishi is coming
here.
Hold on,
Mitsubishi moved here too?
Yeah.
North America.
So we got Facebook, Amazon,
New York Times. When did Facebook move here?
Facebook, they'll be here. They already bought their land. They're putting all their servers here. And they said it'll be like 150 employees moving here too.
Man, Nashville finna be off the yizzle bar.
Right?
Wow.
Good is coming, which, you know, I saw that in 2017. I was like, this is like the gold rush. I said, this is going to be like the gold rush. And you got to hurry up and get in, you know, while the getting is good, while it's low and nobody's really paying attention. Go ahead and start working on it now and get in. But it's also going to come with a lot of traffic, a lot of probably crime rates probably going to go up. Property taxes probably going to go up. When I tell you so many people, so many investors are moving from Silicon Valley to Nashville. I'm serious. It's like they are making the Bay Area like a ghost town. Like, seriously.
Well, you know, I mean, I told you before, I really believe when Google said it in 2015, like, I just believe what this lady said. So I forgot at the event that they had it at, and it was right off Division. I was there, Money was there, and that's when we was finna start off the winner circle and whatnot. And that sister said that Nashville will become the Silicon Valley of the West.
Mm. Of the South.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And she said it, and I just believed her from that point. Like
it's already happening.
To make it bold, and for what you're saying, Facebook, mm-hmm. Amazon, you got other techs coming in here and whatnot. You know, that's
no, that's here. We're gonna be the first black owned tech company and marketing tech company.
How about this?
Can she answer her question?
No, it was finna go to her.
No. We asked her a question and we started talking.
Okay.
She was telling us about the Mississippi.
Did you notice? First, she sabotaged my microphone. Right, she did. She set me up. Right, she asked the question. Then she said, "We started talking." Now, she started talking. Don't be blaming me.
Oh my God! And pointing fingers and
you have the
floor. Yes.
This is so much fun. Mitsubishi. Yes. Okay. So they are doing a community outreach, and when I say that they're looking to partner with smaller businesses that are up to something big. And helping those businesses by plugging them into the networks that they have.
Wow.
Throughout both Nashville, throughout Tennessee, and in general throughout their entire Mitsubishi network to help scale that small batch and really make it achieve that big idea. And so it's a cohort style. We'll be meeting consistently, but the point of it is Mitsubishi's getting behind us and helping us to move energy.
That's what's up. I love it. There is scalability in your future for show. It always was, but seeing the plan come to fruition.
Oh yes,
and that's beautiful. I love it. Yeah,
she's doing the most.
So I saw you
in
post
a good way.
Yeah,
trying to
ask your question before I ask another one.
I was just gonna. Can y'all hear me? Did my mic go off?
I can hear you.
Okay. I was about to say, get your timer out. Let's hear a 60-second pitch.
Okay. Yeah, I can't. I'm using my phone for Facebook Live. But what did you say?
I said energy juice and yoga is a Energy juice and yoga is a one-stop shop for wellness. We offer cold pressed juice and yoga that's designed to be an empowering session to help you to develop a sustainable yoga practice. And we meet you with juice to help to manage and maintain healthy nutrition levels so that you can get the most out of your practice and the most out of your juice. We have these wellness pit stops that we've established or will be establishing across Nashville that allow you to stop
pit
and
stops.
Recharge on the go, where you'll get, it'll be serviced by fresh fruit, cold fresh pressed juice, rather, as well as pop-up yoga. And we're also opening up our first storefront, which will be a flagship store for us to launch and expand our brand for the next 5 years in a couple of stores.
Wow.
So many
pop-up
words,
yoga. I love it.
I like pit stops.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
How do you still remember that? I would have.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
It took me a while to write it and to say it. We've been on this journey long enough for me to have more words than 60 seconds to say about this. I think that's probably been one of the most difficult things is to hone in on what I want people to get about me, about juice, about yoga in 60 seconds. It's hard.
How many times did you practice it?
That particular one, I think I practiced it maybe 4 or 5 times.
Oh, well, you did good. Should I have to practice mine 50 times a day? The heck? She said
so
4 or 5 times.
I've changed it so much. And then, I mean, you know, you appreciate this. The pitch for that one is different from a pitch for another and different from a pitch for another. So it's gotten to the point now where I think I know what I want to say for like the bare bones of it. And then I pack around it, whatever is necessary for the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'll keep changing. And you get upset at the fact that you have to redo your deck again because something's changed. But that means that growth is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good.
So one of the things me and Erica talk about a lot when we bring our fellow business owners up here is that your business was sparked from pain, right? Not seeing us being represented in the wellness industry and whatnot. And so we definitely appreciate you for doing that. And once again, congratulations to open up a storefront because many people don't know how big that is on Buchanan. That's phenomenal because we've been trying to have something black in Nashville. But outside of the pain, at what point did you know that this was worth it? You know, what was it? You could have been driving down 65. Like, at what point did you know, like, damn, I'm really doing this?
For me, it still comes out of that pain a little bit. I had, so I've been on this, opening this business and having this journey come to fruition for the better part of 9 years. And it started, like nine I said, with years. Just this 9 that's, year yeah. thing coming mm-hmm. true.
And that's how you know.
That's the journey. That's how you know mm-hmm. It's in you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity presented to me back in 2017 to start in one of the other buildings that was being built out on Buchanan. And so I'd spent like a year or so trying to get myself prepared for that. But in the middle of that, I got pregnant with a daughter. And we knew we were about to get to this point of like having no time for anything between a business and a new baby. And so in November of 2018, we took a trip, went overseas, went to Spain. I was 24 weeks pregnant, got there, and we had this grandiose plan to drive the coastline, visit the castles. By the way, Spain is a beautiful
place. I
want to
go and yeah. Yeah. It's on my bucket list.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. It'll make you think about just like really what you want in life.
I can imagine. So.
So we're driving down the coastline, and we get to this small city called Seville. It's like southern Spain. So it's like being in deep south Alabama, but in Spain. Everybody there is Spanish speaking. They don't care that you speak English, and they're not going to try.
Okay.
It is what it is.
That's their hood.
Yeah.
Right? But imagine that while we're checking into our Airbnb, my water breaks. And within about a couple hours, I'm in the emergency
room. At 24 weeks pregnant?
24 weeks pregnant. I'm in the emergency room, and Spanish speaking emergency room. And
oh, my gosh.
They're talking to me, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to talk to you, but I know that I'm in pain. Things are happening. And it got to the point where they hospitalized me.
What are you
me.
Laughing at?
I have dark humor. We're going to have to say that off air.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I want to know.
Yeah, I want to know what.
Yep, I want to know.
I mean, she's telling this story that most women would be afraid of, right? She's 24 weeks pregnant. She's in Spain. Nobody speaks English. And her water breaks, and you over here cracking up. Like, what is wrong? What's up?
There's laughter in it for me, too.
Because it's just, you know, when she said.
What?
When she said that when she went to Spain, her and her husband drove the coastline to Spain, and you would see things that would make you realize, like, what I want out of life. Then all of a sudden, her water break yep. is just.
It was pretty ironic.
When you just put two to two, how I think, you know, that was a mean orgasm.
Oh, wow.
I
wasn't
it,
ready. Yeah, I was not ready.
I'm in for it. I said I wanted to hear it.
What were you thinking about?
Well, No. What are you thinking about? Because I
know what I'm thinking but, about.
Hold on. Were you expecting that?
Mm-mm.
No,
I said I had dark humor. Yeah, so where do you think it was gonna go?
I don't. Not there.
It's dark.
They were
humor.
Driving. Where did the orgasm come in?
It was romantic.
Oh, okay.
Let her get into her story.
No, you let her get into.
I
her
already
story.
Had a visualize. Hey, we was not.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you were driving along, not having an orgasm, and your water broke.